Welcome back, brothers and sisters, patriots across this incredible nation, those that hold the cup of liberty in their hand ready to pass on to the next generation. This is Positively American, the podcast where we not only talk about the news, the politics of the day, but what we're going to do about it, because that is the key pivotal point. We can be upset all day long. It's an essential requirement to action. But if we do not take action and pair that emotion with action, we are just spinning our wheels, and that's not what we're about. Today, we've got some topics that are going to make you smile ear to ear. We are going to go through the media melting down about some Trump polling. But the funniest part about the entire thing, and I think they know it, but they aren't telling you, it's not about Trump. We got that. Right after that, we have NPR saying the quiet part out loud and confirming this podcast thesis all over the place in its infancy, which I'm really excited to get your take on that one. And then we're going to dive into a perfect example of leftist logic, which is undermining everything right now in New York City. We're going to kick it to the intro, and then we are going to start this freedom train. All right, beautiful people, we are on the train. We are leaving the station, and we have got some freedom to distribute, so let's get it. Now, if you're new to the podcast, my name is Braden Langley. I run a channel on YouTube called Langley Outdoors Academy. I focus on gun rights. I do 2 and 3 videos a day, every day. And one of the things that we've done is we've steeled ourselves to a point where we are so familiar with the left's tactics that we can almost tell you what they're going to do before they do it. And I firmly believe that most of the next generation of conservative pundits and conservative analysts are going to come from the gun world, the gun space, because the left is in a full-on assault. They feel extremely comfortable there. They think they have a monopoly on safety, which is going to show up a lot in this episode. Now, while we've been over there, I've amassed 525,000 subscribers on my channel, over 100 million views, and it's a partnership of spreading freedom on a day-in, day-out basis, which is what has prepared us to come to Politics General and bring this information. And honestly, a lot of the stuff we're about to cover comes from lessons that gun controllers have taught us on the extreme side of the gun rights fight. But with that said, let me show you some important quotes, because that piece of safety, the monopoly on safety that the left thinks they have, this is an interesting one to start this off. Here's a quote from Ben Franklin, one of the founding fathers. "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." Safety. Does that ring any bells right now? Kamala Harris made safety a right. She said it. It should be. You know, she even had a word salad to go along with that main course. But the whole point is, and this is very simple to break down, if safety is a right, and Ben Franklin was off his rocker, the government has to provide that safety. So therefore, anything that threatens that, air quotes, safety, is going to have to be destroyed, removed, or excised. It's that simple. You give a government that kind of power, and you've got duplications of Russia, China, Germany. There's lots of examples. It just hasn't ended well. I think the tally is 100 million dead in the 20th century alone. No thanks, hard pass. But going back to something that Ben Franklin said, though, keep this in mind. This quote was around the founding of our country, and it was all about purchasing temporary safety. So now, if we break this quote down a little bit more, think about purchasing. What would the currency be if you're purchasing safety? It's your liberty. It's your rights. It's the amendments in the Bill of Rights. The left has convinced the left and some in the middle that by giving up some of these rights, they can purchase safety. If you truly believe that's the case, we're in trouble, because that's not a good look. The big sneak of it is, if you purchase safety, let's say your Second Amendment rights, and the left doesn't deliver on that safety, which is one of the pieces of the New York story we're going to cover in a second, they don't issue refunds. They do rain checks. Keep that in mind as we move through this, because that's exactly what happens. But now I'm going to drop another quote on you. The Statue of Liberty on Ellis Island. Ellis Island, the first place that immigrants come from Europe into the United States in New York. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Free. Yearning to breathe free, not yearning to breathe safe. Understand, our entire historic fabric is weaved with the idea of freedom supersedes safety. Safety does not supersede freedom. In fact, if you look at the ideals and the overarching themes of command and control economies, safety is always the thing that they lull the populations into, because safety and equity, it sounds so nice, but you don't need those freedoms because we're going to deliver safety and equity. They never have, they never do, because the utopian example doesn't exist. If it did, we'd be beat over the head with it until we were a bloody pulp. But the fact is, it doesn't. They just don't want to talk about that. But keep in mind those two quotes as we go forward, because I have this theory that we're on the edge of a renewal of the American experience, unlike anything we've seen in a long time. We have flirted so much with authoritarianism from the left that it is staggering the amount of pendulum swing we are due for. Because Biden and his administration have taken us about to the ideals of leftist ideology without going into full-blown, openly declared socialism. I mean, if you just look at some of the ideas and attempts that they've been stuffed on and stymied on by the Supreme Court alone, from a standpoint of banning all rent through the CDC through dictatorial executive bureaucratic powers, or shutting down gun stores in different governor levels, to mandating shots and other things of that nature for health concerns, it's really staggering where they've gone. But the important part here is everyone sees it, and that's where the first segment comes in. Everyone sees this, but we must provide the contrast. Conservatism is not about putting anyone down. Conservatism is preserving the liberty and the rights for a fair and free playing field in order to achieve your American dream. That's the idea. It's not the idea of a huge government that builds up all these corporations or a massive military that goes off and does XYZ. The idea is the government is held in check through the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and the government cannot supersede XYZ, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth amendments. Pick your amendment. Which is one of the big controversies with all the red flag laws that are going around the gun rights. Again, it will always filter in because the gun rights fight, the left is just more aggressive over there. They're going to do exactly the same thing for the rest of your rights and demand a higher and higher price for you to purchase with that currency. We simply must provide a contrast and show the people the contrast. And I'll be honest with you, the laws of supply and demand are massively in our favor. If you just look at everything that's going on, from the polling numbers to the environmental numbers to the political numbers across the spectrum, the media really likes to make it about Trump versus Biden. I've got to be honest with you, this is bigger than two men. This is all about the conservative ideals versus the socialistic, communistic ideals. That's what this is. This is the Cold War era, but in 2024 America style. Understand, this is not these two men, and I'm going to jump straight to something to kind of wrap the monologue and get the first point going. I want to show some audio here, and then I'll break it down one by one, but the last one ties it all together. But here's the first clip. Let's get it.
Despite President Joe Biden holding rallies across the country in recent weeks to tout the state of the U.S. economy, his message still may not be resonating with many Americans. According to a new Fox News poll, more than half of registered voters say they would trust Donald Trump more with the economy than President Biden, and by something of a significant margin, 56% to 41%.
Whoops. Now, I mean, just for fairness, that was MSNBC. That was a host on the totally fair everyone wants Republican opinions over there. Remember that whole Ronald McDaniel thing got fired because, you know, MSNBC wanted conservative Republicans. They just didn't want that one. You know, that whole thing. Well, the disdain in his voice was that they believe that Donald Trump, of all people, would lead a better economy. I don't mean this in a negative way, but the desk I'm sitting on thinks that Donald Trump would lead a better economy than Biden. I didn't ask it, but I think I'm feeling pretty confident. It's not hard to see. That's exactly what anyone would say. That's why the numbers are so massive. But again, keep in mind, this is not about Biden and Trump. That might have been a personality preference question. But what the two men represent is where the power lies. Let me go to a second clip. This is from CNBC. Check this out.
I think voters have decided the cure for inflation is not Biden.
Yeah.
I think that's one part of it. And then maybe there's a sense that Trump might spend less. He's seen also in other data we have better on the federal deficit, better on taxes. So that might also be seen as the reason why Trump is seen as better. I think Biden erred terribly with this Inflation Reduction Act, that we're calling it, which was really a spending act.
That's weird. You mean if you call something the Inflation Reduction Act, it doesn't automatically make it negative on spending? It doesn't mean it saves money? That's odd. Almost like they put out these bills that they know are going to do the exact opposite. They name it something very, very flowery and very happy and patriotic sometimes. And then we pass it, and it's like, that doesn't make any sense. It's kind of like in the gun world. Again, I'm going to weave this in a lot because I'm pretty familiar. The Safer Communities Act, it was the bipartisan Safer Communities Act that was passed in 2022, June, by the Congress, and the Republicans okayed it. I mean, do you guys feel like you have safer communities because of the bipartisan Safer Communities Act? Or do you feel like the executive bureaucracy has stepped out of check even more so because they were enabled to do so? It's really rather comical. But again, going back to the point of this segment, it's not about the polling numbers between Trump and Biden. It's about the philosophy. Even the anchor just said that on CNBC. His whole point was not necessarily that Biden bad, Trump good. The point was people perceive Trump will spend less. This is about politics and ideology. This is about actual methodology of approach to governing a country. This is not about, I like my leaders real old, and one that can't talk, and one that talks too much. I mean, pick your poison. Let's just be real. One's funnier than the other one. But that's not what this is about. Let's go to one more. We're going to tie all this together with another clip, also from CNBC today. This is fascinating stuff.
Now let's look at who voters think have the best policies on these issues. Let's go. Overall economy, the fourth most important issue. Donald Trump has a 30-point lead on that. Crime tied for fourth, 28-point lead for Trump. Inflation, the most important issue, 27-point for Donald Trump. Healthcare, Biden has a 19-point advantage on that. And the middle class, that's a place, as Wolf was talking about, where there is some battle right there. Who has the best policies for the middle class? Let's go to the second tier of issues, which aren't all that far down, but they're not in the top five. Immigration, 48-point lead for Donald Trump. Taxes, 32 for Trump. China, 28 for Trump. Come to abortion, a 25-point lead for President Biden. And Social Security, another potential battleground area.
All right. So this is a very key point to this whole episode. You just saw Trump, or heard, rather, you just heard Trump dominating in most categories. The ones that are the most important to the American people, immigration, inflation, and crime, dominating face. Biden isn't even in the same stratosphere on these polling numbers on perception. But Trump isn't guaranteed a win. Trump's polling is not 58, 60, 40 plus. Don't get me wrong, it's looking not good for Biden, but that does not mean anything as of right now. What I can tell you is those numbers are so strong and those numbers are so confident and adamant because of the ideology supported by each person, not because it's Trump or because it's Biden. This is bigger than these two independent candidates. That's what we're talking about here. This is conservatism versus an overbearing nanny state. That's what we're observing. And a lot of people aren't analyzing it in that way. I think it's something that we need to discuss. And if you look at the mindsets of what we're talking about, go back to the Ben Franklin quote about purchasing safety with their liberty. That currency is important. But now let's get to the second point. This one, I should send NPR a bouquet of flowers because they quite literally just confirmed the first three episodes that we did on this podcast, and they didn't even tell me. It was quite the surprise. So the first episode that we did in this topic was about the liberal contingent of the political sphere, and the Democrats particularly, who were extremely crisis fatigued because the leadership of the left is sending them into crisis fatigue. They've cranked up their dopamine receptors so hard that they always have a crisis to respond to, and they always have to have an existential crisis in order to save the planet because that's what they need to do, whether it be abortion, whether it be climate change, whether it be Donald Trump, whether it be crime, whether it be border, whatever it is, there's always some sort of extrapolation of the world will end if you don't. I think in one of my episodes, I compared it to a meteor that's going to come down from space, unless, of course, you do this one thing, in which case it'll hold off until the next emergency. They're burning them out. And that's the important piece. The left is utilizing fear, anger, and control. That's what we've seen. They are utilizing fear and anxiety and capitalizing on those things in order to push the crisis response in their voting base, their demographics, their constituents. It's how they're getting their ROI. The return on investment is the all-important action that they're chasing. The only way that they can do it is by keeping the pressure up and amping up that pressure when they need to, like turning a dial in order to get their voters to do what they need them to do, and then they keep them angry to keep it at that level. You don't have to look very far to see the woke, the progressive, they're all angry all the time, and people don't want to follow that. But that was the first portion. Then, the next episode, just so happened there was a study out of Finland that was quite literally saying that the people who identify with the woke ideology, and I've got the episode up on the podcast, you can check it out yourself, they are more than likely to have a fair or less than fair personal rating of mental health or mental health quality. This is a study from Finland with 5,000 people. And I don't want to say anything about those people because everyone has their struggles. I'll be the first one to say that everyone has their demons, everyone has their struggles, everyone has their development opportunities, and where you are right now can be completely different to where it is 2 years from now. But the part that really irks me, and I will not give any type of allowance on, is the left, the ideology that is seeking power and control through the sale of safety in exchange for your rights, is capitalizing on the fears and the anxieties and the depression of these same people. They are being used and manipulated into supporting their own power, the left's power. That's where I have the problem. And then today's article comes in from like a meteor out of space that we mentioned earlier. Democrats feel more fear and anger about Trump than Republicans do for Biden, AP poll says. Let's dive into this, because so far we've got crisis exhaustion, we've got fear and depression and woke ideology aligned people, and there's a new way I can say it, and then we've got now more fear and anger towards Trump. Are you seeing the theme? The tools of the left are anger and disruption. That's what they do, okay? Again, not Democrats, not everyday Democrats, we're talking about the left. Many Americans are unenthusiastic about a November rematch of the 2020 presidential election, and I think that's a fair statement. I don't think many people want to do that. But presumptive GOP nominee Donald Trump appears to stoke more anger and fear among Americans from his opposing party than President Joe Biden does from his, and that's such a key point. The left is alienating Donald Trump and anyone who is associated with him because you do not have a purity of thought if you have any room for Donald Trump or anyone who likes Donald Trump in their lives. You must ideologically purge. You must be an idealist. There is no room for anyone who is not a purist, an idealist, and everyone loves purity tests, especially on the left. But keep in mind, the thing that they are driving in this poll is anger and fear. What have we been saying since this podcast started? Anger and fear is what the left uses to control power. Let's continue, though. A new poll from the AP Center of Public Affairs finds that Democrats are more likely to report feeling fearful or angry about the prospects of another Trump term than Republicans are about the idea of Biden remaining in the White House. It's almost like Republicans have identified that Biden is not sending us in the right direction for the country, but they're not angry at the independent individual. They are actively motivated to get rid of the ideology. That's what you're seeing. But on the other side, it's you must destroy Donald Trump. He is the figurehead. He must be destroyed. And the thing that they don't understand is this is an outright repudiation to all of their philosophies, not Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the icon at the top of the system. He goes away, you think that everyone's just going to go, oh, okay, cool, I'm not a conservative anymore. It's very similar to what the gun control advocates do in the gun control side of the debate. Like I said, this it's like A to Z right here. They made the NRA the demon among demons, the chief demon, Satan himself. Anybody that has anything to do with the NRA must be destroyed. All the gun control groups did it. Moms Demand Action, Every Time for Gun Safety, Giffords.org. Put your gun control group here, March for Our Lives. And then the NRA started experiencing some issues, and they lost support in the gun space overall. The left immediately said, ha-ha, victory is ours, the NRA is dead. And yet they continued to lose on the gun control versus gun right lawsuits over and over and over again. The support for gun rights went through the roof. Gun buying was at unprecedented levels. How is this possible? The reason that it's possible is because you took out the figurehead, or actually in this case, the figurehead took out itself. You guys, the left just provided the final blow because they were corrupt in the NRA. But the grassroots support, all they did was shift to a different organization. They found the supply because they had the demand. It was very simple. It's an economic equation. The demand at the bottom level wanted to support gun rights. The NRA was no longer meeting that need or supplying that demand, and therefore they went elsewhere. And the left is absolutely perplexed. How are gun rights supporters still supporting the Second Amendment? We killed the NRA. Because all you did was target something, because the left only identifies targets in demographic buckets. They don't see individuals. This is collectivism versus individuality. This is going back to the entire point of what I was saying earlier. This is all about ideologies. The left goes after figureheads because they can easily identify them, they can easily isolate them, they can easily attack them, and they can easily destroy them. You cannot do that to 200 million individuals. You have to put them in one large group of people, like, oh, I don't know, MAGA? And then you have to demean them. Basket of deplorables? Any of these things ringing a bell? You have to put them over here in a bucket, and you have to isolate them from society, and they are verboten. And you will not talk about them anymore. You will not talk to them anymore. They will be excommunicated because they've been put in a bucket. That's how they think. I just gave you the example of the NRA, and you're seeing the exact same thing with Donald Trump. They are not going to remove the Republican Party from the population of the United States because the conservative ideals will exist and will endure, dare say, beyond Trump. Anyway, let's continue, because I think that was an important point to drive home. 7 in 10 Democrats say the words angry or fearful would describe their emotions extremely well or very well upon a Trump victory. Well, yeah, TDS will take over on that one. Trump derangement syndrome. Just, you know what, call out sick from work that day. It's just better that way. It's just easier. Just don't go to work if Trump wins. Maybe plan a sick day now, because there will be a whole lot of screaming at the sky, legitimately, if that were to happen. Just be on YouTube, because there will be a lot of clips that will be really fun to watch. But a smaller majority of Republicans, 56%, say the same about a Biden triumph. About 6 in 10 Democrats cite both emotions when contemplating a Trump victory. Again, that exceeds the roughly 4 out of 10 Republicans who said they would feel both angry and scared about Biden prevailing. And this is the interesting part. The way that I look at this, if Biden were to win a second term, yeah, it's going to suck for 4 years. I mean, hard suck. But at the end of the day, I know that I'm not quitting. I know that I'm not stopping fighting. One of my favorite quotes ever, whether it's 100% real or it was completely fictional, I don't care. I just like the quote. That whole "we're going to fight in the shade" by one of Leonidas's captains. We're going to send as many arrows as we can to blot out the sun. Okay, we're going to fight in the shade. It's kind of the same vibe, only American. America. It's an important piece to understand. The left doesn't see that. The left sees must destroy Donald Trump. They don't see if we destroy Donald Trump, what do we get? No. It doesn't go there. No, we don't talk about the next steps. We talk about destroying the dragon in the room. Okay, well, why don't we just keep on going? And let me show you some examples from this exact same article. If there was a third-party candidate who had a chance in hell, I would vote for them, said Austin Healey, a 26-year-old Democrat. Healey, who describes himself as very liberal, well, that kind of gives that away, said his mixed reviews of Biden take a back seat to his concern that Trump's comeback bid looks like a clear ploy for trying to abolish democracy. Wow. Though he's not excited about it, Healey said, that means a vote for Biden. What we just heard together was hook, line, and sinker. Trump is here to destroy democracy. Well, that's really interesting. Particularly since you see all of the executive bureaucratic moves that are happening from the Biden administration against all rights in all realms. But other than that, yeah, Trump's a demon. I mean, this is the person that you're not going to really convert because quite literally you just can't see what's happening around you. Okay, well, someone told you that Trump was a demon. And someone said it's a clear ploy to abolish democracy. Okay, that one might be too far gone, people. But anyway, let's continue. I knew who he was when he came down the escalator in 2015, and we were never getting Boy Scout material, a guy named Novak said about Trump. But he put conservatives on the Supreme Court, he was firm on immigration, and he's a conservative who handled the economy. Supreme Court, immigration, economy. Do those ring any bells from the earlier segment that we did? Those are the top tier interest levels for voters. Immigration, inflation, and crime. That's Biden's worst polling area. But you can see in a clear as day contrast here, the guy who says Trump came down, he's not a Boy Scout, which I think is a very accurate description of Trump, but he did get the Supreme Court locked down. He did and was firm on immigration and still is, and he's a conservative who handled the economy, all areas with focus for the general electorate. Meanwhile, the 26-year-old Democrat says, I don't really like Biden. He hadn't done a lot of the things he said he was going to do. He's not my favorite, but that takes a back seat to the concerns about Trump. Looks like a clear ploy to abolish democracy to me. Yeah. Less MSNBC, more anything else. Anyway, let's continue here because I have one more thing for you. The latest AP poll showed Biden with an overall rating of 38%, which is abysmal if you follow these things. U.S. adults also expressed discontent about his handling of the economy and immigration, and not all of the disapproval is driven by partisan loyalties. That's a fancy way for saying even Democrats are irritated. About 4 in 10 U.S. adults approve of Biden's stewardship of the economy, roughly equal to his overall job approval rating. Yeah, well, seems like a good time to tell you that the way the voting demographics break down in the United States is around 33% liberal. So that checks out. But the whole point of this, the left doesn't know how to look beyond something that they've been told to be terrified of and be horrified of. There is no alternative and option provided afterwards except empty platitudes. We're going to save democracy. Really? Somebody please tell him that it's a constitutional republic. Please. But no, it's democracy. You know, no correlation, I'm sure, to the fact that the Electoral College is one of the banes of the left's existence because it supplies an equal say to all states, no matter the population size. And a true Democratic vote of 51% of the population would give complete control to about five states, all of which who are blue. But other than that, no big deal. Trump is going to destroy democracy after all. But that's what we're at right now, angry and fearful. So in conclusion on that point, we've got angry and fearful. We've got a majority of woke people who identify as woke, rather, in political views are less likely to say they're good in a mental health perspective, and they're all crisis'd out. Who's doing what good for who? Anyway, this last piece kind of ties it all together. And I think this is an important piece that we all need to discuss. And this one I honestly think you guys probably could send out. If not, at least let me know what you think in the reviews or the comments. Something's happening in New York City that is so crucial to understand what's going down. New York City is a perfect icon for leftist ideology in running a city. And then subsequently it runs the state. A little bit less throughout the entire state from a standpoint of actual intensity, but New York City is by far a liberal bastion. New York City is at the forefront of the reimagining policing. They've elected an open socialist, de Blasio, before Mayor Adams. And the entire idea was to gut the police because the inherent system in our country of justice wasn't justice. We needed to destroy it. We needed to tear it down and build it up as something else because the left utilizes the tools of fear, anxiety, depression, and division in order to facilitate destruction in order to build what they want. They have to destroy in order to build. Think of it as a build as a nation or an area or real estate where there's no room left. You have to demolish the building to build a new one. That's what they require that. If you step out of line, if you offer any variation of thought, you will also be destroyed. There is no room for anything other than purity of thought. You must be ideologically pure. Now, the terrifying part about that is, those are characteristics that they share with Eastern socialist communist regimes. Loyalty to the party, or you will die. It's that simple. But let's get back to New York. Let's not go across the pond just yet. So I want to walk you through something else that happened over the last few years, and you may or may not know about this, but this is incredibly important to understand as we go into the officer who just got shot, the rising crime, the subways, and the response to these problems. So there's something called the Bruin decision, and I'm going to break this down for those that don't speak gun world. Basically, the New York State had a law that was on the books for 100 years that said the state can tell you if you can or can't have your rights to carry a firearm. That was very high level, but they basically struck it down. They said, no, you can't tell people they can't carry their guns. It's a constitutional right, right? The right to keep and bear arms is kind of like important. And so New York State, in responding, because they had to have some sort of law, because that one was struck down, it was called the Sullivan Law at the time, they had to come forward with something else. So the Supreme Court decision said, you can no longer say, I may give you a permit for a gun to carry it. It is now, you shall get a permit to carry it. It's a very key distinction in phrase. So what New York State did was they said, well, that's fine, I will give you the permit, but I'm going to make this list of places that you can't go with your gun, and I'm going to make it as insanely meticulous as possible. Add everything that I can in here. We're going to call it a sensitive place. And for the argument's sake, we're going to call, well, not argument's sake, just for the segment's sake, the subway was one of them. And so they've gotten sued. There's been lots of court cases. It's going back and forth in the Second Circuit. It's a long, long battle, right? But the idea is sensitive places was the new answer to gun controllers who wanted something, but they had to abide by the Bruin decision. That's the backstory. So in effect, in these sensitive places, you can't take a gun in there, even if you have one of these permits. Again, the whole gotcha, we gave you a permit, but you can't carry it anywhere. So the subway, and this is where the irony comes in, the subway is experiencing an unprecedented spike in crime. Insane. You've got New York City that is going off the rails, And it's not only because the sensitive places, it's also because the prosecutors there let people out all the time. In the most recent tragedy where the police officer was shot this week for doing a traffic stop, the people who shot him, the two guys arrested, one had been arrested 21 times and the other had been arrested 14 times. They were both fugitives, both violent fugitives, and they were back out on the street. They had both served time prior, and yet they had two firearms in New York City, which is a massive gun control state. They had defaced the firearms, which is one of the charges, which basically means they removed the serial number from existence, a federal crime. The idea that they had a gun was a federal crime. All of these conflicting gun control, by the way. And then they shot a police officer who is now deceased, and that is terrible. Had a one-year-old, had a wife, was young. He was 31 years old. And the idea is, well, you pass these sensitive places laws, but you let all the criminals off on the streets who don't listen to your laws anyway. Then you go to the subway. Another story that happened a week and a half ago. I cover all these on my YouTube channel. There was a subway rider, a bystander was standing there, and a criminal who was selling drugs had a gun, an illegal gun, and in the commission of a crime, and started threatening the bystander with it. The bystander wrestled the gun away from him and then shot the guy, the bad guy. Well, police didn't charge him with anything because it was self-defense. Now, keep in mind, this is sensitive places because subway is a sensitive place. So you can go down on the subway with no gun, and if you wrestle away the gun from someone who's not supposed to have a gun, then you use it. That's self-defense, and you're fine. But if you carry your own gun down there, prison for you, bro. Understand the stupidity. And that's kind of the backstory, which leads to where we are now. Mayor Adams just came out and announced 2 days after this officer was shot and killed that in an effort to solve the problem on the subway, they're going to put new metal detectors in place. Now, that would be fine and dandy if you didn't know the prior story of what Hochul had done for the subway to solve the problem. More police presence. She deployed the National Guard down into the subway. And yet still these things occur. You still need metal detectors. Isn't that odd? And now the part about this that really cooks my grits. There's actually two pieces. I got a lot of burnt grits over here right now. The first part is these machines that they want to buy aren't standard metal detectors. Standard metal detectors cost $10,000 a pop, and you own them. They're buying $125,000 leasable models, and they're getting two of them. And they're placing them at announced and planned out locations as a pilot program. And by the way, because they're so expensive, they'll be ready in a matter of months. You heard me say that correctly. Months. So now where we're at is you've published the location of these metal detectors, which are 12 times more expensive than the others, in an effort to prevent guns from going into a gun control promised zone, which is a sensitive place. Does this hurt anyone else? It kind of hurts me. Like, my brain actually hurts. And that's the first thing that bothers me. The second thing that really bothers me is something else that we talk about on the gun control versus gun rights debate all the time. And Democrats, Mayor Adams included, Governor Hochul, they've all said that hardening schools and protecting students in those schools with metal detectors or police or SROs or any type of hardening presence would make it feel like a prison, not a school. And that's unacceptable for a learning environment. But you touch the subway. We've got National Guard. We've got police. We're going to have these new super expensive metal detectors that are deployed as inefficiently as possible. And the giveaway now. This is the big point. They can't back away from any of these things that they've said because they have to be ideologically pure. That's the point. It's not a question of do they know the problem. They know the problem. They have a high recidivism rate. They have a DOJ in New York State that is letting criminals out all the time to the point where it's a detriment to the public safety. But they can't go back and fix that because they have ideological purity to the left to respect it. You cannot infringe upon that because if you lose your base there, you will lose your power structure. They have to keep doing stupidity because their core demographic base needs it. It's not about solving the problem. It's about capitulating to a political ideology. It's an ideology of destruction. Anything can be thrown on the altar of collectivism. That's the point. By utilizing fear, anxiety, depression, division in order to accomplish destruction, they will build their utopia. And you're either with that, or you're in one of those buckets we talked about. Are you a basket of deplorables? Or are you a MAGA? That is for you to decide. And that is what I've got for you guys. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Let me know what you guys think. Make sure you rate it, send it out, do all the things that are necessary for freedom to spread. And this train has officially come to rest. Thank you for checking it out. I'll see you on the next one.